Let's welcome our connected community. Amen. Amen. All right. I'll tell you what. We've been prophesying to each other. And so this one went to you. Got your phones? All y'all got your phones. I know you do. I know you do. So this, we're going to do this different. We've been going to each other and prophesying. So this one, I want you to take out your phones because you're probably on a friend thread or a family thread. And I want you to text. I want you to prophesy to your thread. Just pick a thread. Amen. And we're going to prophesy, and we'll explain this word in a moment. But let's see here. Here's the word we're going to prophesy. This morning when I woke up, I heard the text go off at about 5 in the morning. I'm usually up pretty early. And we have been praying about open reward. Open reward. That what you, Jesus said, what you do in private, he will what? Reward you openly. And we've been praying in that theme. That's something that God dropped on us this past week. So when I woke up, because if I hear a text early in the morning, because I'm a pastor, I'll check my text and make sure that everything's okay. And while I check my text, I hit the Gmail, which you shouldn't do early in the morning. You shouldn't check email first in the morning because it produces more stress in your life sometimes. All right. So, but when I open my text, you know, I'm a Marriott member. People that know me know I'm a Marriott member. And I saw this email that says you've received a free night award. I get that every year. And it's just an email letting me know that my free night award is there and available. Amen? Then I looked just a few emails down. Best Buy, which I don't really shop at Best Buy often at all, but somehow I got a reward. It says, John, don't forget your reward. And I said, wow, that's two things in reward. Amen. God is going to reward you openly for what you've done in private. So on your text thread, send your message that God is going to reward you according to your faith. He's going to reward you. Now, you can put in your own words, just as long as it has that God is about to reward you. God is about to reward you according to your faith. And then, gen2gen.com/Facebook. We're online now. We're online now. Or you could say, join us now. Now, everyone's not going to text. But it's just, amen. And don't worry, presence of God's still here. Send that text. We're about to minister this word. All right, hit send. Ready? Y'all done? Are y'all typing? Y'all typing a whole prophetic word. Just getting it all out there, huh? Just sending everything. Okay? Send it to your group. Encourage them. All right? Good. Good, good. Let's put up our mission statement, please. Amen. And we're going to get into the scripture. So let's do our mission, our declaration, then we'll get into the word of God. All right. Let's do it. Let's read it together. We are a generation of builders empowered by the anointing, y'all ready? Of manifold grace to make a lasting impact on our generation. We're not seeking escape from the challenges of today, but we'll focus on reaching those in need of the gospel. Individuals who, once transformed, will go on to impact their generation. We are committed to building strong foundations for youth, shape from generation to generation. Welcome to Generation to Generation Ministries. Amen. Let's go to our declaration. Father, I thank you for the word. As I receive, meditate, and obey your word, I become the word. Then I can do what your word says I can do. I can have what your word says I can have. The power of your word impacts my family for 1,000 generations. Amen. Amen. All right, let's go. This past Sunday, I was thinking, and my grandson is texting about getting picked up right there in the middle of my message. Have mercy. All right. Last Sunday, I was thinking about what this journey we've been on Sunday. We've been talking about, remember, the vertical relationship with God on Sundays, the horizontal relationship we have with each other on Tuesday. It's been a tremendous ride. We've been talking about how God is a keeper of his word. He's a keeper of his covenant. God does what he says. He's the Lord of the rising. He watches over his word to perform it. And then we got on the revelation of covenant that God wants to unpack or reveal or take the cover off his promises and his covenant to us. And I was thinking about it. Then we talked about insight. And then we talked about timing. And it's been so great, amen, because I've been getting such calls and text messages, even from people that have been viewing online, how the timing, that two installments of timing blessed them. Because sometimes, amen, we can have an expectation when things are going to happen, and sometimes God's timing is different. It doesn't happen when we thought it was going to happen. And so people have been encouraged, and I've just been glad to hear that. And I said, wow, man, we got an acronym, and our acronym is R for revelation and I for insight and T for timing. And then I sense the Spirit of God said, but you need faith to make it all work, because it doesn't work without faith. And I said, well, man, that's even better. Instead of R-I-T, amen, put in R-I-F-T. But then I looked up Rift. And Rift seemed so violent. I said, well, Lord, that can't be it. If I use Rift. And on last Monday when we were praying, and as we were praying, the Lord says it is correct. That word is correct. Because Rift is, and I'll go through the definition, is a violent separation. Here's the beauty. Sometimes we think we're experiencing this very rift. And I want to show you a video of a rift in action. Let's put that up. Amen. Greece, as beautiful as Greece is, it's the most beautiful place I've ever seen. I took that picture. I took my wife to Greece. Greece was formed by a hemispheric rift. Out of all that separation, all that dust, the volcanoes, amen, erupted, and they formed something beautiful. So let me I'll just give you this. Amen, this is free. I don't care what you've gone through and how ugly it looks and how much smoke and heat you've experienced. When the dust settles, God's going to make something beautiful out of that situation. He's going to turn your beauty, your ashes, into beauty. Something great is coming when we go through things. But let's look at this word rift here, because it is a fascinating word. I believe it's a word because I believe Jesus' witnesses are rift believers. I said Jesus' witnesses are rift believers. Say that with me. A Jesus' witness is a rift believer. We stand on the covenant. And so we'll define it and we'll get into this. Let's go to the next slide. A rift is a tear, a breach, a separation. Next. Synonymous with crack, cleft, gap, fracture, gash, rupture. That's a rift. That's a rift. When you're, but let's go to the script. Let's go to the next, and then I'll, amen. 2 Corinthians 6:17. Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Covenant believers, Jesus witnesses, rift believers, live separate lives. Let me make it simple. Would you please stop trying to explain yourself to people who don't even have your faith? Will you be comfortable being a person who walks by faith and not by sight? Why in the world would you try to give your dream, your purpose that God gave you, amen, to someone who doesn't even know your God? This rift comes when we become part of the kingdom. When we get a revelation of Jesus Christ, amen, and we become a new creation, we become part of this rift. The world is all stressed out about Donald Trump and people being taken off television, what the world's going to do. But man, that's this side of the rift. I'm on this side. This is not where my source comes from. This is not where my help comes from. This is not where my provision comes from. I'm over here because I've been separated from the world. There's a gap. There's a rupture. There's a fracture. I'm part of the rift. My culture is not the world culture. My culture is a kingdom culture. My mind is not a carnal mind. Too many believers, we try to breach this gap. We try to heal this gap. We try to explain ourselves and explain our walk. And when we do that, amen, and we're so used to living on the side, the carnal side of our thinking, our intellect, our resources, amen, but all our blessings and the milk, the land that flows with milk and honey and our favor and open doors and opportunity are on this side. You got to decide what side you're going to live on. You got to decide what side you're going to function in. Let me just go to, of course, I'm not going to, and I'm going to show you some people who lived in the rift, who lived their life in the rift. Believers who walk by faith and not by sight. Hallelujah. I knew how, amen, to walk in the Spirit. I'm going to go to Romans 8. Amen. I know this is probably going to be a two-part. Amen. When God moves you into the kingdom, you got to accept that divide. Learn a new way of functioning, a new way of operating. Because you now, like the rift causes earth to separate it, you are now worlds apart. I say you are worlds apart. The way the world functions and the way a believer's function is worlds apart. You're in the world, but not of the world. You live by covenant. The world lives by, amen, money, get a check, intellect, their own strength, their own knowledge, their own favor, their own nepotism. Believers, we don't live by that. We live, we're worlds apart. Amen. Look at somebody and say, I'm in a whole other world. I'm a whole other world.
So therefore, when things go, amen, when things are crazy over here, amen, I don't get wrapped up in that. That's a whole other world. That's a different world. That's not how I live. I'm in the rift. My life has been made. I've been made a new creation. I'm over here.
Oh, Lord, help me, Holy Ghost. Romans 8, therefore there is no condemnation of those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, over here. Give me a few chairs. Let me just do this. Y'all all right? Y'all gonna be all right. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin. Yeah, give me about four chairs. They might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. How do we live? Verse 6, the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile toward God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Amen. No, it doesn't even have the capacity to do so. Here's my rift. Y'all are so quiet. Here's my rift. Here's my kingdom side. Here's my carnal side. When I didn't know Jesus, I lived here. I operated here. I functioned here. I responded here. My triggers were here. My habits were here. My belief system was here. That was the old man. Amen. I was a slave to my flesh, my appetites. When I got a revelation of Jesus, he took me. I was translated. I was born again. Not of the flesh, but I was born of the Spirit. So I mind the things of the Spirit. So I hear from the Spirit. And my first in an acronym RIF, amen, is a RIF revelation. The first revelation I got was of Jesus Christ. When I came to know him, amen, all of a sudden he uncovered his mind, his heart, amen. He showed me the Father. So I moved over here. I don't mind the things over there. I live different. I live by covenant. I'm a RIF believer. Here's the problem, saints. When we try to live here. This is what James was saying when he was saying, amen, a double-minded man, amen, a woman can't expect to receive anything from God. Because we live in the middle. Based on the circumstances, based on the triggers, based on what we're going through, amen, we might lean this way or we might lean this way. But if we're going to enjoy everything that God has promised us in his covenant, we've got to learn to live here. We've got to learn this new lifestyle. That's why, amen, we're going to have, amen, discipleship and amen, Jesus witness intensives, amen, starting in October, amen. We have got to learn, amen, not to visit here. This is what, amen, this is what carnal believer does, amen. They live here, and as soon as, amen, things go wrong, they come over here and pray, SOS, 911, God, help me now, please. And as soon as they get a blessing, other side. This is what Jesus meant when he sent the letter to the church of Laodicea. He said, listen, I would rather, man, would you guys make up your mind? I would rather you be hot or cold.
But you can't live in the middle. Because when hot and cold mixes, you're lukewarm. You really don't have an identity. You got a boat, you got a mix. Christians and believers shouldn't be people of a mix. Believers have to be kingdom people. So we get a revelation of Jesus Christ. We see God through Jesus. What Jesus did, the Father does. Jesus was an expression of the Father. Everything we see Jesus say, when he said, I will that you be made whole, amen, that's the will of God. He said, I want you to be healed. I want you to be delivered. I want you to be set free. Amen, that's the Father. That's how we learn. We get revelation of Jesus. We get, amen, insight in how to function as a Christian, as a believer, as a Jesus witness. Now, we're not perfect. I said, that's easy to say, amen, but sometimes, amen, it gets tempted and I fall over here. Amen, we all fall back over here. I said, we all. And sometimes we all come all the way over here because it's the life we lived for so long. This is how we learned how to respond for so long. But as we grow in Christ, we learn to live here. How do you live this revelation and this insight life? It's in the faith. It's walking by faith according to his word, that I don't have to do things according, amen, to the world and the world system and how the world does things, but I can do things, amen, according to the word of God. I can obey God. And receive the blessing. I can hear God and receive the blessing. Amen. Amen. I don't have to panic. I'm going to stay on this side. I don't have to stress out. Even though it looks like I'm going through that volcanic reaction that separated. Amen. I know something beautiful is coming out of this. I don't know why I'm in these messages of encouragement. Even though the smoke and fire, I'm not going to abandon, amen, I'm going to stay in faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Here's a person that was in the rift. John, on the Isle of Patmos, he was separated. He was put in prison for the or on an island of isolation for the preaching of the gospel. What did John do wrong? Nothing. He obeyed God. He preached Jesus Christ. Just because, amen, you're doing God's will doesn't mean you're not going to go through something. They took John, they put him on the Isle of Patmos. But the Bible says that even in this place of isolation, John did not abandon who he was. John says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Isolated, being punished, but I didn't sway. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Stay in the Spirit if you want the revelation. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and his faithfulness, amen, amen, here comes the angel. John, I'm going to give you a revelation of that which is to come. Because he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. You know who else was in a rift? Amen. Joseph was in a rift. He was separated. Removed, amen, from his place of covenant. Removed from that place, amen, where he had the dream. Amen. He ended up physically separated, betrayed by his own family. But Joseph would not deviate from his covenant or his character. When the Pharaoh's wife, amen, wanted him, he ran. Now, she was fine. How did I know she was fine? Because they ain't gonna have nothing less than fine. You got that kind of power. Amen. You gonna have fine. Amen. Amen. But he would not deviate and give in to the pressures. So easy. So easy. Amen. In the midst of something. So easy. In the midst of what Joseph went through to give in. But he said, I'm going to stay with God. What did God do? He honored his dream. He honored his dream. And he saw the blessing and the fulfillment. Let's stay with God. Come on, tell somebody, let's stay with God. Stay in faith. Our pastor's heart, amen. I got so much going, and it's just hard, and it's interesting that the first break people want to take, amen, is from church, or fellowship, or devotion. That's the first break. That's the convenient break. Amen. I'm stressed out. I'm about to love myself. I'm gonna have me a spa. I'm gonna do this. Amen. And there's nothing wrong with relaxing. I'm not saying that. Amen. But let's, amen. Amen. Not as a substitute for time with God and staying true to his word. Lord God, I want to preach, amen, a praise break message. We have to be people. Then when you learn how to live in the rift, then you become a messenger of the rift. When you learn how to live consistently in the rift, then you become a messenger. You know what you say? You know what you do? You be like John the Baptist. You preaching a message hasn't been heard. You're challenging a people to come out, amen, of darkness and religion, amen, and you're ministering the word, amen. You're standing because you've learned to stand. People need to see believers standing consistently. People need to see believers standing in faith, regardless of what they're going through. People of the rift. Come on, and let's just worship the Lord for a moment. Come on and worship him. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. 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 Just play for a moment. Come on and let's worship. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I don't want you to receive this message in condemnation. I want you to receive this message as an exhortation. I want you to receive this message that the blessings and everything that God has for you. That's why distractions come. And that's why the triggers come. And that's why Egypt comes. Because Egypt never wants to let his people go. That's why old relationships come. That's why old heartaches come. Because this is the most powerful, dangerous place to the enemy. A believer who walks by the Spirit. A believer who will not be called back into an old system and an old mindset. That's why such hardship comes. Wants to take you out your place. Because in this place, you are so powerful. This is, you know, I'm not responsible for what other people preach. I'm responsible for what I need to give in this house. I know there's nice messages, and you know, we'll do some of those. But here, we want mature people who can live in the Spirit. Not just on Sunday, but have a command of their flesh on Monday. And have a command of their temper on Tuesday. And can walk in integrity on Wednesday. And can stand up and be a light on Thursday. And can be powerful in the Holy Ghost on Friday. And on Saturday, they're getting ready, amen, to win somebody to Jesus on Saturday. Not people who need to be charged up every Sunday because they've constantly vacillated their life before Christ. And they're wondering why God is not showing up powerfully in their life. And why their effectiveness is wavering and inconsistent. Because you're going to be tested. When you say your world's apart, you're going to be tested. Jesus went, he separated himself. He went to the mountain. And that's what this fast is about. Separating ourselves. He was hungry. Flesh was hungry. But not his spirit. The devil comes and said, why don't you eat of this bread? And what did he want them over here? See? He said, why don't you just, you know you're human. You know you're fleshly. Why don't you feed that and come over here? Jesus said, no, I'm going to stay here because you know what? Man don't live by bread alone. I'm going to stay in a place where every word from the mouth of God. That's what I want you to get. When nobody's looking, when you're isolated, nobody sees you. When the enemy comes with lies, realize that you're a world apart. You're in the rift. You've experienced the rift, the separation, the rupture. From the things of the world. That this is where you live. And our job, my job, minister's job, teacher's job, is to equip you so you can live here. Teach me how to prophesy, but we'll teach you how to prophesy. But let's teach you how to live here. Teach me how to cast out devil. Yeah, we'll cast out some devil. But first, let's live here. Then let's teach our family how to live here. And teach our children how to live here. And teach our generations how to live here. To model a life consistent in Christ. Not living between two worlds, but in one world. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on and worship him again. Come on, worship him again. Come on and worship him again. Not according to our agenda, but his agenda. Some messages go better. They go down better with worship in between. Amen. Hallelujah. Worlds apart. And can you go back to 2 Corinthians 6? And I just want to start at that first verse. I want to show you how severely this is. And then we're going to wrap up here. Just go back. Hold on. No, not. Go back to 14. Go back to verse 14. That'll be enough. 6 and 14. If you would just do that. 2 Corinthians 6, 14. I want you to see this. Okay, and this seems severe. And Corinthians is a gifted church. So Corinthians has all the gifts of the Spirit in that church. But they're very carnal. They're very carnal. So just because the church is gifted doesn't mean the church is spiritual. I said, just because the church is gifted doesn't mean the church is spiritual. It says, do not be yoked together. That means, Dr. Sam, stand here and just hold out your arm like that. That means don't be yoked together with unbelievers. That doesn't mean you can't have relationship. But how you going to walk together? Now, you walk that way, I walk. See, how you going to walk together? If she doesn't see or I don't see things of the kingdom, and she see things of the kingdom, she's going to pull, we go here in the rear, she's going to pull here toward the kingdom. And I'm pulling over. Come on, Dr. Sir. Come on. Dang, you strong. You see, it's over here. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. That's why sometimes marriages struggle. Because husband's trying to go, or the wife trying to go, thank you, to the things of God. They don't even see it. And rightfully so, because it doesn't make sense to them. You telling me you belong to a church, you taking first fruits of your money, giving it to the church so the pastor could drive an Escalade and wear gold and all that kind of stuff. I'm not going to church. That's what they think when you say church. I mean, I don't drive an Escalade. I pay for my own car. I have a business. I'm blessed. We're blessed. But that's what people think. He said, for what righteousness? What do righteousness? What does righteousness mean? God way of doing things. So what fellowship does righteousness have with wickedness? What do they have in common? Wickedness has this way of doing things, and righteousness is a world apart. It's God's way of doing things. Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? There's no revelation there. There's no insight there. There's no faith there. So you're not going to have that. You're not going to be able to bond together over what you believe in God for. Some of you, amen, amen. Well, I won't say, I'll say somebody else. You confide in unbelievers. How are you going to get wisdom, godly wisdom, from unbelievers? They're going to give you their means of handling things. They're over here. Your world's apart. Let's go to the next verse. What harmony, what unity. This is, I mean, like Christ and Belial, man. Because when you mind the things of the, when you're bound by sin, what harmony you have, what unity you have. Or what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? Now, he's not saying Jesus was called a friend of sinners. Don't get me wrong here. But I'm talking about when you got to mind the things of the Spirit, and when it comes to your stance of faith, when it comes to you believing in the covenants that Jesus Christ gave, when it comes to be you and your purpose and your mission in life and your call of life, you can't give in to carnal and what people call common sense reasoning. And it's not going to stand out like a sore thumb. It's going to make sense. But you have to develop such a sensitivity that says, no, this is going to pull me over here in the middle. And I'm not called to the middle. Come on, somebody say, I'm not called to the middle. I'm called to the kingdom. This is where my blessing lies. This is where my covenant lies. This is where my God is. This is where light and revelation and insight are. This is where I know my God and be strong. Go to verse 16. What agreement or what covenant is there between the temple of God and idols? What covenant can be formed? Now, I'm not talking marketplace. I'm talking lifestyle. What covenant can be formed? That's why, amen, You have a relationship when you're on, say, amen, and then you know you need to cut that loose, so you go over here, you don't call him or her anymore, but you still monitor the Instagram or the TikTok, see what their life is doing. Because you can't, you let go, but you
you really did let go, you. You see that? Yeah, I'm over here in the middle. Amen. Leave them people alone. Get off their Instagram and them TikToks. Monitoring their life. Stop checking their status on Facebook. Get over here in your new life and new relationships. And God has said, I will live with them. And what do you say? I'll walk what? Where is he going to walk? He's going to walk over here. This is what God said, this is where I'm going to walk with you. When you want my will over your will, my agenda over your agenda, when you will be obedient, even when it doesn't make sense, even when the flesh and emotions don't want it, you'll stay in this place. Even when things are going on externally around you, you won't abandon this place. This is where I am. God is saying, even when you don't feel me, this is where I am. I'm not in the middle, and I'm not over there. I'll walk with you, but this is where I am. And then let's close by our main verse. Let's close by the next verse. We'll close with this. No, and I will be their God. And they, let's go back to 16. I'm sorry, it wasn't finished. And I will be their God, and they will be my people. Right here. This is lordship. Right here. Now let's go. Therefore, come out. Come out of this side. Come out of the middle. Separate. Know that there's a rift. Let the rupture happen. Let the separation happen. They're not going to understand you. You're not going to make them understand you. They're not going to see it. You won't be able to make sense out of it. Just come on out and don't engage or set covenant or make covenant or spend your life explaining yourself to someone who doesn't have faith. Doesn't know your God. He said, come over here. This is where I'll receive you. This is where I'll receive you. Come on, give Jesus a praise. Jesus was a man of the rift. Moses caused the rift. Elijah caused the rift. The disciples called a rift. They were called those that turned the world upside down. What keeps us locked into the middle over here is what we perceive, what we see, what we taste, what we handle. And that's why in Corinthians it says, don't touch the unclean thing. And it's talking about engagement. So our fast that will start on the 1st and 2 days earlier for leaders is going to be a sensory fast, setting down sensory. What do I mean by that? Shutting down Instagram, shutting down TikTok, shutting down Facebook, because those things feed your spirit. They on vacation. Look at that vacation. I wish I could take a vacation. Look what he, look how that man treating this woman. I ain't getting treated like that. You need to treat me like that. You see this?
And they up there in front of a green screen. And you getting all depressed because you ain't on vacation.
Or even the lies. Even the stuff that spread on about the media. Amen. So our fast will be a sensory fast. The things we hear, shut it down. Shut it down. Also things that trigger our emotions, like sugar, caffeine. That's hard. I mean, brother, I love my coffee in the morning. I have my coffee every morning. But caffeine, because it's a stimulant. We get rid of all this stuff that feed our sensory, our eyes, what we hear, what we handle, what we engage. And we'll have this all laid out for you next week. but it's going to be a sensory fast. Now, why are we shutting down things like that? Negative talk. Shut it down. Carnal messages from others. Shut it down. Say, you know what? I'm doing this real quick. I gotta get back with you. I'll call you maybe on October the 11th. Let me tell you, I gotta tell you, I got some tea for you. I can't get that tea today. Shut it down. Take your senses, what you see, what you hear, and make it about the word of God. What God is saying. Amen. Any processed foods, anything that doesn't stabilize, anything that's not stabilizing, you know, processed foods with salt and chips and all that stuff, shut it down. That ice cream you go to when you're stressed out. Now you know it's not doing you any good. Set it down. Set it down. And let's have an ear to hear for those 10 days what the Spirit of God is saying. Because sometimes our fight, man, is just overcoming something we heard or something somebody told us that's messing with our faith. We can't isolate to the mountain like Jesus did or Moses did, but we can. What we can do, we can isolate by shedding things that feed our mind and our hearts and our ears and our eyes down so we can hear from God. Amen. God's going to do some great things in this church. He's going to do some great things in this church. And it's not going to be, you know, just, it's not going to be because we packaged ourselves right, and it's not going to be because we got all the logistics and all the statistics on how to greet and how to handshake and how to hug. All that stuff is good. It's going to be because when people come into the place, they're going to experience the power of Jesus Christ, and they're going to see healings and miracles and breakthroughs. And they're going to come into a company of people who know their God and know how to stay in the kingdom lane. And it won't have, amen, it won't be a church of big names and big who's and all that, but it'll be a people of power and integrity. And people who know how to love unconditionally. People who have revelation, insight, faith in God's timing. People of the rift. People of the rift. People of the rift. In the name of Jesus. Come on, let's stand. If somebody, brothers, move the chairs for me, please. Thank you for that. I needed some visual. Oh, thank you, Lord. Sometimes the most straightforward, basic messages are the most challenging because they challenge how we live day to day and how we interact with the world day to day. In the name of Jesus. So, Father, we thank you and we bless you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. We bless you, Lord, and we thank you. Because you've called us and you've made your people. We are now seated with Christ Jesus. We're worlds apart. And so we're not bound to this world. We're in this world, but not of this world. We're kingdom people, kingdom believers. And you're our king. And your way of doing things is how we'll do them. So, Father, give us, even as we over in the next week or so, as we diminish what we receive, Lord, externally, through social media, whatever other means, Father, give us to our ears to be attuned to your word and your will and your voice and your counsel. In the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. When I was here earlier this morning, I was here on the altar praying. And I began to pray and walk in between the chairs. And just, I believe, it was a strange thing. And nobody was here. And I was just walking through the aisles. I was like, walking through the aisles. And I was thinking about the message. I said, man, if somebody came in here, heard me, and see me doing that, they'd be like, what in the world is he doing? And that's because we're worlds apart. But I believe what I was doing prophetically is releasing the wind of God, the breath of God, in the name of Jesus. And so we receive that, Lord. The breath, Lord, the wind of God that directs us and guides us, refreshes and strengthens us, and speaks to us in the name of Jesus. I want to pray for anyone that wants prayer, say, and specifically, of course, if you don't know Jesus Christ, you say, I want Jesus in my life, I invite you to come. And I want to pray for those that are in the middle of the rift. It's turmoil. It's hard to just stay in that place before God because you're experiencing a lot of turmoil. Can you put the video up without the sound? And you're in the middle of it. You know, sometimes when you're in the middle of it, man, you need prayer and someone to agree with you. Let's pray, people of God. Just pray as I make the altar.